Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
We've got a full-fledged argument going on here in the studio. Paul Alexander, Andrew Filippone debating what is good, what is bad, what is failure, what is success. We'd like to hear from you at 412-928-9370.
Are we on the air, Bob?
Yes.
I'm telling you, we should have a camera in here during the breaks. It's like the showdown show. We should.
Well,
have
I want
camera.
To do a show that's called After the Showdown.
It'd be unbelievable.
Andrew is really, really into this now. He's put on a headset, even though we never invited him to join this party right now.
What did
now.
Paul Alexander just say? He's like a doorknob. He gives a turn to everybody.
Yeah, what the heck was that all about?
Everybody gets a turn. There's more free passes around
Pony,
here.
Take a seat. Stay a while.
I haven't been on this show since I guaranteed Ayuk was a Steeler, so I don't know if this is actually for me.
Have you softened in your later years? When you walked in here as a brash 23-year-old, you were ripping everything in sight. Now you're handing out, like I said, more free passes.
I never said free passes.
If you want to go to Halloween Success, go to his house. He's banning every candy is available to you.
You're saying you are giving a free pass on the Steelers in the playoffs unless they get destroyed in the first round. You're saying no matter if they win the division,
they've
had a successful year.
Yeah. Black and white, I mean, if I'm going to put it in a basket, is it good or bad? If they win 12 games and sweep Baltimore, and if they were the best team over the 17-game season, yeah, I'm going to say it was a good year. I'm not going to be jumping for joy about it.
When you look back on the 13-3 year where Blake Bortles came in,
yeah, I don't look at that.
Was that a successful year?
No, I don't look at that as a successful season. I don't. But that was Ben in his prime, and I thought that team, like, legitimately, well, I guess the Shazier thing kind of screwed up that season.
Yeah. What about
after that injury? I didn't feel like
2020 is. I kind of saw that coming when they were 11-0. It felt weird.
Well, that's what I
and
mean.
Then they
So the difference between that year and this year is, depending on how I'm saying in this hypothetical, they beat Baltimore. That 2020 team limped into the playoffs. They got beat by Ryan Finley in Cincinnati as a 2-touchdown favorite.
But they won the division.
But the division, in my opinion, was not. I put more stock on winning the division now because, as you guys have pointed out, two of the best quarterbacks in the entire league are in your division, and you finish ahead of them over 17 games, and you sweep
there's
that
no
guy?
Pride in finishing ahead of the Bengals.
Hold on a second.
Ahead of the Bengals this year. They stink.
But you don't think there's more pride in sweeping Baltimore? It's basically the NFL.
Well, no, you said win the division.
Well, yeah,
they could lose to Baltimore and still win the division.
What's that? No, I said when we talked about this, I said it was you beat Baltimore on Saturday and win the division. So you sweep Baltimore, you win 12 games, and then you lose a playoff game.
Why does it matter how you won the division?
I think it absolutely does. If you backdoor your way in versus you beat Baltimore twice in one season.
Backdooring your way in wouldn't be winning both games after Baltimore. You would have split with them, and then you control your own fate. You don't need any help. You just win your way in.
In my opinion, you backdoor your way in if you beat Carson Wentz on Christmas Day, and then you beat the Bengals resting Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and those guys in Week 18.
I think you've earned it in that case. But the real point is, So you would legitimately
look at it as a bad season if they won 12 games and were the better team over the long haul. I'm saying you have to pick one between good or bad. You can't
absolutely
say,
bad. They've been dying for a playoff ring.
He's saying absolutely bad, Bob.
Absolutely.
I'm saying
it's not, you said it earlier.
It's not bad.
It's bad it from the bad. Standpoint. You have to give you some context. It's bad from the standpoint that you've won a division. You haven't won a playoff game in 8 years.
There is no
and you're set up to win one. If you win the division, you have a home.
Game or not. That's been the whole bar for this whole season. You talked about it before the year. TJ Watt being this generation's Dick Butkus. We've reached the point where the Steelers themselves don't even talk about Super Bowls. They talk about a playoff win. TJ Watt said, I got to win a playoff game.
But I brought this up to Chris. What is more impressive? Being better than the Ravens and Bengals over an entire season and beating the Ravens twice, or just for one Sunday beating the Broncos at home?
One Sunday beating the Broncos at home, and it's not even close. It's not even close.
One game
because
everything
you're describing happens within the parameters of something called the regular season. The other thing is the tournament. And you, and I mentioned this earlier, you're a Syracuse guy.
Yes.
Jim Boeheim. Go ask him. How important was it to win the Big East? It never seemed that important to him. You know what did? Get into the NCAA tournament. Do you even remember if Penn State beat Ohio State this year and won the Big Ten? I don't care. Neither do they or their fans. What they care about is what's going to happen.
No, I think they would
now.
Care. If they beat Ohio State, they would.
Now.
Just like Ohio State
you don't
would
think
rather beat Michigan
that for
than
beating SMU one time? In the playoffs
no, I think
advancing?
If they could beat Ohio State, that would have relieved a lot of pressure and
so
criticism.
Nobody cares.
They do care.
It's the playoffs. It's what you do in the playoffs.
Let me ask you this question.
Do you think they'll care if they advance in the playoffs?
Joe, let me ask you this question. Is crossing up sports? But let me just ask you this quickly. Were the 84 Steelers better than the 93 Penguins? They went deeper in the playoffs. One team went to the AFC Championship game. The other got knocked out in the second round.
So they each won one playoff round.
No, one team went deep. No, the 84 Steelers went to the AFC Championship game.
That's where they got crushed by Miami.
They got
right?
to the Final Four. The 93
84
Penguins
Steelers
did not.
The 84 Steelers and the 92-93 Penguins.
The Penguins got knocked out in the second round. The Canadians and Islanders played in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right, and everybody on that Penguins team will tell you that season was a massive failure, relative especially.
Massive failure? Some of them say it was the greatest team they ever had.
What? They lost to the freaking New York Islanders and lost their chance at a dynasty.
But no one I've never heard anybody call that season a massive failure.
Go ask the players. Go ask the players who played.
Do you think that was a massive failure season?
I look back at that because they had won back-to-back trying to win again.
Why are we arguing about the 84 Steelers and the 93 Penguins?
Because your whole point was that just one playoff round win like makes it...
For this team at this point in time, but... Like I said before, you're arguing that a division title equals a successful season.
Yeah.
Whereas
in the context
of
the regular season, it is a successful season.
Well, we're talking overall season.
But I think you separate the two also. Why wouldn't you? You're going to remember if they won a division. You will.
I will. I don't remember that they won the division when Baker Mayfield came and blew them out the next week. I don't remember that they won a division when Blake Bortles came in and beat them.
More important than that is the next thing. That's where I agree with you. But I'm not going to discount... Not, you know, if you win the division, you've accomplished something over
it's
the
nice.
Course of 17.
It's a nice accomplishment.
It is.
Joe,
but then the
failure occurs by not winning a playoff game, which is separate from that.
Bob, the season is about what you do in the postseason.
Overall, yes, I get it. And from that point of view, it would be a huge disappointment. You can classify it as bad outcome.
You're backing off your position earlier.
I'm not backing off. I'm trying to tell you that it could be true both of these things. Why wouldn't you think that winning a division is an important accomplishment? It is. In order to get to where you need to go.
It's absolutely in Joe's world, it's not an important accomplishment whatsoever.
No, I didn't say that.
Well,
nice regular season accomplishment. We just had the guy on from Baltimore. He said, "Who gives a crap? The Ravens will start on the road."
Well, then
they will give a crap if they lose on the playoffs on the road.
Games start.
But it's not an accomplishment whatsoever if you lose the next week, and in your opinion, it negates everything you did in the regular season.
It does.
Then it's not a nice accomplishment. It
does. Well, I'll ask you again. Did the Blake Bortles loss negate everything that happened that year?
That season felt that way to me, yeah. I mean, I'm being completely honest with you. That season
I think this season feels
differently because of where the Steelers were picked. Many people had them in last place. So because they win a division... And they beat teams like Baltimore and Cincinnati, which most people thought were going to be the top two teams, maybe in the AFC from that perspective, it's a successful season, regular season.
Bob, you're backpedaling faster than Deontay Johnson.
I'm saying if they lose in the postseason, the result is a bad season based on what they had accomplished.
Joe, you played what I said.
What they had accomplished was winning a division. If they do it and lose, bad. Yes.
Yes.
But it doesn't.
Period.
It doesn't take away from.
I think that's a nice regular season accomplishment.
Right.
It was nice when Kenny Pickett went into Baltimore and won a few years ago. That was fun to watch. It was entertaining. It was a nice regular season game. Accomplishment. Fun. It's what you want to have as a fan. You want fun in the regular season.
I did say.
You measure seasons based on what you do in the playoffs.
I understand that, and I agree with that.
I did say I'd rather win a playoff game than win a division.
Yeah.
I just disagree that the line is playoff win, good. No playoff win, bad, if you win a division and win as many games as the Steelers have this year.
Well, that's where we disagree.
That's absolutely where we disagree.
My understanding is this whole season, inside and outside of that building, has been based on we have to win a freaking playoff game.
And Art Rooney himself said that, so that's where this standard is right now.
I know this is obviously just an argumentative extreme. So by that logic, if they had a perfect regular season and lost in the divisional round of the playoffs, it would be a bad year? I mean, come on.
That's an argumentative extreme.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Do you think the Patriots look back on their undefeated season as a success or a failure?
I think if you, again, go back to what I said, good or bad season, they're of course going to say it was a good year. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but they had the best regular season of all time.
I don't know how Tom Brady would answer that question for you. But yes, that's an argumentative extreme. That is.
I asked you guys off the air though, if they won out and won 14 games, you guys would still look at that as a bad year? I think if you asked football fans, not who are Steelers fans, but across the spectrum of the NFL, did the Steelers have a good year this year with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields winning 14 games and oh crap, they lost to the Chargers on a last second field goal? People would say that's a hell of a year by the Steelers.
I think your whole caveat there is the nature of the playoff game.
So you are at least admitting you could win 14 games and then lose by three touchdowns and the season's a failure.
Because you said that yesterday. I did. I would be so put off by them no showing a playoff game that it would put a damper on everything.
So where do you draw the line?
How about if that playoff game goes into double overtime? And there's all sorts of machinations throughout at some point you're going to lose a game. To a team that really deserves to win.
There are extremes, but by and large, 95% what you do in the regular season is one thing.
Right.
Your season is judged. Your season is ultimately judged by what you do.
It's a terrible outcome to what was a good regular season.
Joe, let me give you
that's
this
all
one.
I'm saying. They go to two different outcomes for me. I could separate the two.
They play the Ravens again in the wild card round.
Yeah.
And they lose 24-21.
Mm-hmm.
Good year, bad year?
Bad year.
24-21.
Yeah. So, no, that's what I was going to ask you. Where do you draw the line? If you're going to put that kind of qualifier on this, all right, you just say yes or no. 28-21.
I'm still in the good.
30-21.
Still good, but I'm now.
34-21. Yeah, now do you see how silly this exercise is?
You're making
their whole season depend on a few points here or there in a playoff game.
Yes.
Yes, so what is it then? Double figures?
Because a few points here or there determines who wins or loses a game and how we feel about teams.
No, you're not saying who wins and loses. You're saying by how many do you lose. But, what is it?
Well,
11? 15?
I'm trying to.
17?
We're having a conversation
four and a half,
about that.
6?
You've not only said that they've lost playoff games, they've gotten blown out. And I agree with you on that. So obviously we're
Well, technically they didn't really in either one. Although
you said that, though.
Yeah. So it was 45-42. So I'm wondering, from your perspective, that's only a three-point game against Jacksonville.
I think they got blown out. Okay. When you get down three touchdowns or four touchdowns, and then you fight back and you lose by a touchdown or three field goals, I don't care about empty calorie 500-yard games from Ben or three touchdown passes and one-yard Le'Veon Bell catches when you're down three scores. I just don't. So, yeah, the final score looks, as Bob said earlier, looks better than the game actually was.
No, I would agree with that.
I'm pissed off about those games, regardless of what the final score says.
So, again, I ask, what are the parameters?
If they lose to Baltimore and they're down 21-0 at halftime and they end up losing by three, I think I'm going to be pretty pissed off about that game and the season.
Well, you're putting a lot of sort of complicated parameters on this.
I don't know if they're complicated.
They get down early, but only lose by three. What if they're up early and lose a Buffalo Bills 35-3 lead?
Isn't that the whole point of what we do? We talk about things, and then we decide whether or not we would feel good or bad about them, and how we would
not
react
really.
To those
it's
things.
Supposed
no?
to, well, yeah, but it's supposed to be simple. You started out with a simple premise.
Yes.
You put it in the good pile or the bad pile.
Yes.
And then your premise gets increasingly more complicated by the second.
Bob,
is it good or bad? Yeah. Answer that question.
Can we have two piles here? Well, yeah, you're making one pile the whole thing.
I'm simplifying this unbelievably. He wants it in a simplified pile, and then he's complicating it.
Hold on. The reason why it gets complicated is because people ask you questions that force you to go more in depth on it, which is part of what we do.
No.
Yes,
you're,
it does.
You're an expert in rhetorical arguments, but you're distracting from what you want to be a simple one. If they win the division and lose in the playoffs, do you put the season in the good pile or the bad pile?
I told you I put it in the good pile.
Okay.
Yeah.
I put it in the bad pile. Forget all parameters.
And I don't know what Bob is.
I still don't know where Bob is.
What I'm saying is, why is it that always it has to be one or the other? What I'm saying to you is that you can enjoy the regular season if they win a championship,
of course,
those players will, as fans will.
Yes.
Then you get to the next stage. That's where you're going to judge the ultimate outcome of the season, but you still shouldn't just disregard what they've accomplished over the course of 3.5-4 months, whatever this is.
It's a nice regular season accomplishment. That's not disregarding it. It just doesn't define doesn't define your season. Your playoff fate does.
I agree. That's what people will remember most is the loss, of
it,
especially because it's come after so many and after so many years of not having one. I get it. But that doesn't take away from what they accomplished during a season. That's all I'm saying. I can see both.
You are saying it takes away from what they accomplished.
You're going to semantics. Every syllable and a half syllable I say, you're tearing apart.
And Chris and I talked about this. It is a different conversation if you just try to put the season in a vacuum versus taking the whole drought into context. Because I said to Chris, what if they had won one playoff game over the last 7 years? And then we're just evaluating this season. Do you say good or bad? And he said good. And I said, but that would not change what happened in this season whatsoever.
But you can't, you can't separate this season from the recent history.
That's
you
fine.
Can't.
That's fine. But what you're doing is you're holding sins from past teams against this team's accomplishment.
Same coach, same key players. Well,
Russell
Wilson's different.
And
then
somebody called in and made a good point. So if they have a failure of a season, and they – I know, we're going – sorry
no,
about this,
good.
Guys.
No, we're not even close
we
to
don't have clocks
time.
Here, don't you know?
So Kambali's up next. He's going to wait, apparently.
So if they have what you deem as a failure of a season, they lose the playoff game. Does Russell Wilson get caught up in that? Because he would have been the quarterback that was
No, that's way – what if they lose the game 55-54?
Okay, now you're getting into that
extremes.
Again.
We have argumentative extremes.
No, now we're talking about analyzing individual players.
Sure.
Not putting a season in a bucket. Hold on a second here. He's the one who wanted to simplify you to the point of Bob put it in a good bucket or a bad bucket.
But I didn't. I want more buckets. I am
then
Bobby
tell him
Buckets,
that, not
baby.
Me.
I want
tell
more
him
buckets.
You want more buckets.
I don't want,
the
I can have buckets.
Bucket.
I don't need one big bucket.
You have to admit, though, with that like coaches and quarterbacks are judged more on records and winning playoff games and stuff like that.
You don't include all individual evaluations in deeming a season a failure. Like, you might as well ask me, so if they lose the playoff game, would you cut TJ Watt? That's the same as asking me that question.
No, not,
of course I wouldn't.
Hold on a second, though. You say that. But if I twisted it and said, would you want to trade Watt if they lost another playoff game? I think you'd entertain that, right?
I don't know.
I mean, cutting a guy and getting nothing for him is different from you've gone 8 years and you're still banging your head against the wall.
They lost a playoff game. Do you want to move on from TJ Watt? No, I don't want to move on from TJ Watt. I think he's the best defensive player in football.
I think on that one, if you polled people and said you've had the same result every year and you're not making any progress, would you flip him for multiple first-round picks? I guarantee you some people would say yes. And I think some people would say if they lost with a playoff game with Russell Wilson, they would say, well, he's 36 years old. It's the same old, same old. It's the same crap.
Those are individual evaluations, which are way different and a whole new topic, incidentally, from was this a good season or a bad season.
And I do think you did not want to go all the way to Crowley's end where he said he'd fire Tomlin if they had
him. No.
But that would be 8 bad seasons in a row.
Yeah, which is why I wouldn't have extended him to the point that they did.
Yeah.
And would continuously monitor situation.
So you
like how many years is too many? I always ask the national people this.
Well, I'm asking you that. How many years is too many? Apparently 8 isn't for you.
It's getting close. I wouldn't have signed him to a 3-year extension.
I know. But I mean,
seriously, for all of us, what's the line of too many? 10? 15 years without a playoff win?
Joe, I think
would that be too many?
I think you've done a great job with that, but I do feel like you write the column, when are we going to put Tomlin on the hot seat after every playoff loss? And it sounds like you would do the same thing after this one.
No. I've written the column of I wouldn't extend him to that degree.
So he would still be, so you would not fire him if they lost a playoff game, no matter how bad it looked. If you had, I mean, we know it's not going to happen. We know there's a 0%.
Now you're putting parameters on the game. But yes, no, I wouldn't fire him. And as I said, winning the division is a nice regular season accomplishment. And
Bob, I'm sorry for doing this to you.
You're not. I see things differently, apparently. I can see things.
I don't know
in
how you see things based
buckets
on this conversation.
Well, no.
Which bucket's bigger?
Well, that's a different question. The playoff bucket is bigger.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go so far as to call everything a failure because they didn't. They succeeded.
I said it's
you
a
said
nice
the season
regular
would be
season.
A failure.
So did you.
I did not say that. I said.
Did he say
that? I did
or
not.
Am
I said it would be a bad
limits
outcome. I didn't use
a
the word failure.
A bad outcome is different than failure.
I never
failure
said
okay
failure.
Oh, right, never said failure.
Then I'll go with bad.
Oh, my God.
It's different than a bad outcome.
See, again,
he said it wasn't a failure.
I did not say that.
How do you,
I said,
city
I look
limits
at it two different ways.
Differentiate
that's all
the phrase bad outcome from failure.
Well, failure is definitely much more of an extreme than a bad outcome. Well,
right. That's how I look at failure. Failure is you don't achieve anything.
But Joe,
they achieved what they wanted to achieve, much to the shock of the football world who had them in last place.
I don't know. If you're
they got good seating in the playoffs?
If you're going to parse bad versus failure, isn't it the same thing as parsing good versus successful?
I'm lost now. I'm totally lost.
I'll get out of your way. So
the irony of all this is that he started out with Bob, just make it simple. One basket, good or bad. And now I don't even know what we're talking about.
But I say there should be more than one basket.
Okay.
Everyone
give
has
Bob
more than
an
one
extra
basket.
Basket limits.
What? I wonder how many baskets.
Give pass around
let's
the basket.
Find out,
for
let's Bob find out
the
what
basket.
Mark
more
let's
basket.
Up
let's
see
for
if
Bob
he can hit a few baskets. He's up next.
You've gone backwards faster than Jim
backwards
Marshall with a fumble. For
I'm
God's
saying
sake
that you're lumping it all into one category, and that's it.
Well, there you kind of have to.
No, you don't have
end
to. You can separate and still come to the same conclusion.
All right, then we get to separate all of our baskets. The first quarter of the season was good.
All right.
There was a middle quarter that was very good. The ending might be okay. The playoff game was good in the first half. There was a bad outcome in the second half, but the first half they played really well. I don't know what to do anymore, Bob.
I don't either. Let's bring on Mark Cabali. Let's find out what he has to say, and if he is multiple basket oriented.
The good news here is we have Mulsey the Snowman at 1 p.m., which is going to be incredible.
Well, you've
Bob
taken the joy out of the whole thing.
I'm the Grinch now?
Yes. we haven't had to use this truck for a while.
Or the ice cream truck?
The ice cream truck. Can I have some chocolate mint chip, please?
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. You thought the biggest thing today was the unveiling of the Malzi Christmas song today. Malzi the Snowman that we recorded yesterday. No. The biggest thing is the big boy himself, Bob. And he's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is Mark Cabali.
Does he have an intro, Joe? Does he have like a musical interlude?
He has everything that happened and him saying this is, it's just a joke.
He definitely has that machismo.
And he has that. Not just an interest, or not just an intro, he has machismo. And he's here of the Pat McAfee Show. Mr. Mark Cabali. You know what we should do is I should introduce him. We should have applause for Mark Cabali. Can you give him a little round of applause? There we go. How are you today, big boy?
Ratings climb when he's on anything, and that includes our showdown show on Sunday night. People tune in to see what Mark has to say.
That's why they refer to it as the pomp show to me every time. not the showdown, the pomp show. It's a little raining out here at the old Steelers practice facility, and I'm thinking, Joe, how about have a holly jolly callus? That'd be a good song, right?
Well, that might happen tonight at Mike's Beer Bar. Are you going to that?
No, because Pomp is making me work, or Richie Walsh is making me work, so I can't.
That doesn't mean you couldn't stop in for a couple of hours.
Or a couple of beers. Sometimes you're better like that when you're on the air.
Yeah.
Well, the kid has basketball practice from 7 and 8, so I'm kind of hindered by that.
Okay. Let's get to Lamar Jackson. We had Rob Long on from The Fan earlier today who said that Lamar is getting sick of this whole narrative about the Steelers, and Long, anyway, thinks that that is all going to change Saturday. What's your gut feel on this?
Well, you know, if he wants it to change, he can do something about it, right? I mean, it's not like people aren't saying anything that hasn't repeatedly happened over the past, 4 or 5 years. I mean, the facts are facts. He doesn't play well against the Steelers. I think the Steelers do bounce back. I think there is something to them having their way with Baltimore, and I really do like them coming off of a loss like they did where they were pretty much embarrassed. I mean, if they do come out and flat again, then I think that really is detrimental to where this team or how far this team will go in the playoffs. But I don't anticipate that happening here. So I think the Steelers have a really, really good chance of sweeping them here. But where I have an issue might be is, you know, you win the division, all nice and dandy, you beat them twice. Then all of a sudden, the first round of the playoffs, here comes Baltimore again to Pittsburgh. That's where I'd be more worried about, but I'm a little bit getting ahead of myself on that.
What's the latest with the injury situation? We're all monitoring that, Mark.
Well, they just started practice here a little bit ago. They're inside, so they're just warming up a little bit right now. Pickens is going through some warm-ups, but I don't know what he's going to do practice-wise. If Mike Tomlin holds true to his word, is all hands on deck, if you're healthy, you're playing because this is a big game, then I would anticipate both Pickens and Watt playing, because just seeing how they're moving, seeing how George Pickens jog through the locker room and decide to try to jump and touch the ceiling tells me that if he's not far away, he's not very far away. So now that can change at the last minute, and Tomlin saying, hey, we can win it this week, but we don't need to win it this week. I mean, they have just as good chance of losing this week and beating Kansas City and Cincinnati and winning the division as well. Is it worth it? So I still say 50-50 each way, but I think if this was a must-win, absolutely get in. Both those guys will play.
How about Deshaun Elliott?
I see him rolling around here a little bit too. Same with the hamstring. Still don't know about him.
You're going to leave a light on for him? What about the other guys? What about the other? Now I'm forgetting all of them. Ogunjobi, who else missed the game?
I don't think Larry's practicing today. I wouldn't anticipate
what about
him
Jackson?
Playing.
Is he?
I think he's, I'm not sure. I didn't see him out there yet. Really wasn't looking for him. But he's tends to bounce back from injuries quite quickly. I mean, he's had a handful of them already this year where you weren't sure if he was going to play or he came out of a game just so he can come back the next week. I don't think it's anything serious. I just think it has to deal with some pain and some, you know, some treatment. So I would anticipate him being back. They need him. I mean, you saw his catch rate. He's still a top five corner in the league in terms of people catching balls against him compared to, you know, James Pierre. So I think they do need him, maybe not as much as the other three, but he's up there.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Big boy, was Najee benched the other day, and why hasn't Tomlin been asked about that situation? You know, was he benched? Are there any ramifications from that? Blah, blah, blah. What went down the other day? I know they only had one more possession.
Yeah, that's the tough part about that. I mean, there was only, five more offensive plays after that, I believe? Not many. So was it scheduled to give him Cordarrelle Patterson? Was it, hey, let's see if this guy can do something? I mean, Tomlin literally talked, 12 hours after the game, and half the people in that weren't back from Philadelphia yet to ask questions, and he hasn't been available to the media yet, so that's why there hasn't been any light shed on if he was – I doubt if he was benched. Like I said, I think it was just circumstances. If they would have had more plays, he would have been in there. So I wouldn't read too much into it as of him being benched or anything like that. But, I mean, it's not a guy that fumbles either. I could see if it was Jaylen Warren at the goal line at Washington. He has a history of fumble. This guy hasn't fumbled the ball in 300 carries.
No, I agree, and I think he's been very reliable, and so therefore I don't think he would have or was benched, and they needed more plays to really reveal that. But it was interesting, Rob Long from Baltimore he had on, he said, in that first game, because I had asked him about why they went away from Derrick Henry, and after the fumble, he said, John Harbaugh, that's his way. He won't go back to you even if you're Derrick Henry, which I think is a mistake.
Ridiculous. I mean, maybe you do that, like I said, you do that with a guy like Jaylen Warren, or you remember about 10-12, I don't even know what it was, 10 years ago in Cleveland, where like seven different Steelers fumbled, and I think Tomlin benched every single one of them until he had to come back to the, you know, the original guy because he ran out of them. But we're talking about Derrick Henry here, number one. And number two is he rarely ever fumbles the ball. I mean, you have to be light enough on your feet to be able to make exceptions to your role. And I think Derrick Henry and Le'Veon Bell, Derrick Henry and Najee Harris are two guys you make exceptions to the fumble rule.
I agree.
Does part of you think going into this game that the law of averages is just on the Ravens' side? Like, how long can the Steelers dominate this rivalry and do to a great player what they've done? I said that last game. It's a very strange situation.
Well, I think Baltimore is going to have a big say in that, and I'm talking about coaching staff. You know what the Steelers are going to do. They're going to try to keep Lamar with inside the pocket, sort of muddle rush him so he doesn't get outside and be able to create plays with his legs and either throwing or running. I mean, it's what they've done for 4 years right now, and it doesn't seem like the Ravens have adjusted to what they do. So unless they come and do something a little bit different, why would it change? I don't think it will change unless they, you know, try something else. Me, I would come out and make it a slugfest. I would hand the ball to Derrick Henry 25 times and see and force the Steelers to stop him like Barkley. They're pretty good at it, but I would still make that my number one priority. But until they change, I think you're going to see much of the same when it comes to Lamar not having the best of days.
Let me ask you about their tight ends. They have two really good ones now. Mark Andrews has all of a sudden gotten back to where Mark Andrews has been, even though it looked like likely was going to be the guy at the beginning of the season. How difficult is that for the Steelers to defend both of them? And if they decide to use both at the same time, I mean, you're looking at who covers whom defensively with those two guys.
Yeah, that's likely hasn't been very productive over the past month, but that coincides with, like you said, Andrews really picking up his game. But it does help a ton that you have guys like Patrick Queen and Peyton Wilson out there at your disposal. And surely that guys like, you know, even Cam Sutton. So they have enough guys with him and Beanie Bishop and even Minka to a degree to be able to cover those teams. But, I mean, the NFL is the matchup league. It's not anything that other teams haven't tried to expose. But I think they're just much more equipped to deal with it this year because of guys like Wilson and Queen.
Man, I just noticed this. I was reading Steelers Depot. Not that I was bored with your answer. In fact, I was riveted to it, big boy. but the Lamar Jackson has never started at home with a crowd in the stands against the Steelers. His only home start was during the COVID year. So this is his first start with an actual crowd behind him. That's interesting.
I don't think they've ever actually played the Steelers, started against the Steelers twice in his career too, right? In a single season.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that too. Why have they been so successful, in your opinion?
You mean
against Lamar?
Well, I just think they just know how to play him. I mean, they're very, very detail oriented when it comes down to what they want to do with him. He, like you saw, if you go back to watch the original game of what a month ago, 4 weeks ago, is they just don't let him get outside to be able to create those plays with his feet, with his legs. And they still, even though he's a much better passer than he was last year and the year before that, if you're going to look at one thing that's be a weak spot, and it's not a tremendous weak spot, it is some of the consistency with some of his throws and some of the wide receivers and the talent of their wide receivers. So they have a plan. And that plan just works. And it's just they got the people who buy into that plan to be able to make it work. Because if somebody tries to be Superman on that front seven, then you get burnt. And for the most part, they've been able to stay away from that, you know, hero ball type of play on defense. And I think that goes a big way of stopping him.
One more question for you, Mark, and that's from our friend Scarps, who's on Twitter. And this is interesting, though, because I find
out who he is, Bob.
Well, he used to be
Ryan Scarpino.
Ryan Scarpino used to be a Steelers PR. But I mean, he puts up some interesting stuff. And this comes from Pro Football Reference that all he did was, you know, copy this and put it out. But it's interesting because people have worried about Minka Fitzpatrick in that he's not making plays. No interceptions, no signature plays. However, according to this statistical information from Pro Football Reference, of all the people targeted, Joey Porter Jr. has been the most targeted of any Steeler defensive back. And he has the worst numbers. Minka Fitzpatrick, on the other hand, has only been targeted 39 times, which sort of supports the Mike Tomlin theory that they're trying to guard against big plays in the middle of the field. And he has the best rating of any of their defensive backs in terms of completions made against.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're comparing apples and apples here with Minka.
No, but it's funny how – I'm just trying to stress that as a point of strategically, Fitzpatrick is being used differently.
Yeah, he's definitely – and he has the ability to do what he did last week, too, is if you needed him to come up into the box because Elliott was out, he's able to do that. Sure, I mean, they're paying him enough money that he's an all-pro. He should be making some more plays. However, you just can't look at that number and say he's not doing anything because he's fitting into what they want. Now, you can sit there and question, is that the best fit for a guy like that? But Terrell Austin said it a number of times today, and it's nothing new. We just don't want to allow other teams big plays, period. And ironically enough, he says, because if they don't get the big plays, we like our chances of them not staying on the field for a long time and having to punt. And you know what automatically comes to mind there, 10.5 minutes to end the game in Philadelphia. But that's their philosophy, and that's what Minka provides, or at least has provided. I don't remember too many balls, 40, 50 yards down the field where they have long touchdowns. I mean, maybe a couple early in season, but nothing jumps to mind. And you look at Minka's tackles, what is he, third, fourth on the team?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Should he be doing more? Yeah, it would look better. They could use it, but I'm not going to just say he's been terrible because he hasn't been.
Bob, may I engage the big boy in a game of free association?
You may certainly do that.
Let's make this one move here, big boy. We're already past time. Has Omar done a bad job with the backup receivers?
No.
He's done a good job with the backup receivers?
Not much you can do. If you want to come in, you're
not much you can do. You can find one.
There's Joe again. One bucket, Joe. He just wants one bucket. He can't. There is no extension of an answer. It's one bucket.
Free association off the rail. One question in.
We don't call him veteran Steelers apologist Mark Cabali for nothing here.
You just asked me a follow up. You asked me the follow up, and my point is Brandon Ayuk was on his way here until he decided against it. How was that Omar's fault?
Deliver the baby, okay? Fix your receiver room. I don't care about the details. He's got Mike Williams, Ben Skoranek, Scotty Miller, and Van Jefferson, for God's sakes. I don't care. Spare me the details and fix it.
They'll make less money than you.
Spare me the details and fix it. I'm sorry.
Okay, Omar's terrible. He's awful.
I didn't say that. See, that's taking it to a pony extreme. I think Omar's done a good job with the roster by and large. I think he failed miserably on the receiver front.
And once again, on this real quick, you're acting like it was his sole decision too.
It's his job to bring in players. He didn't bring in any.
Well, like I said, if a guy is ready to come here and get traded here and at the last minute say, no, I'm signing here, what do you want him to do?
Find somebody else. Instead of Mike Williams.
But at that point,
all right.
There it was gone. It was dead.
Grade Cam right. Sutton since he's got here.
C plus.
Hmm. Joey Porter Jr. has been good, average, or below average this year?
Probably average.
Deontay, if he shows up for the game, will walk into the stadium backwards. Yes or no?
And I was trying to come up with something clever to say about him dropping the ball, but I couldn't.
My weekly question on next, what year will Minka have his next turnover? 24? We're running out of time. 25 or 29?
I'm saying 25.
25.
Bengals.
Okay.
Last game of the year.
Over under on Mike Tomlin letting a half minute run off the clock for no reason and later saying it's because he, quote, got caught up on some information, and I'll just leave it at that. 0.5 times that happens.
I'll say under.
Skoranek, over under 0.5 catches.
Over.
Van Jefferson.
People with Skoranek's jerseys at the game in Philly.
Of course. They love him. We had people calling the show saying Pickens needs to be more like Skoranek. Van Jefferson, over under 0.5 penalties. He gets one per week.
Oh, I never knew that. I would say over then, if that's the trend.
I mean, each of the last 2 weeks, he got one in the red zone 2 weeks ago, and he got another penalty this past week. If you're not going to catch balls, at least don't get penalties.
Once again, free association off the rails.
Huh? But free for all. Too critical. I'm sorry. Lamar's first rushing. Will this be Lamar's first rushing TD against the Steelers in his career?
Let's hope not, because I got Derrick Henry on my fantasy team.
Oh, the next question is Derrick Henry, over under 99.5 rushing yards.
He'll probably have 20 because he's on my fantasy team in the playoffs. So under.
Jaylen Warren is only averaging 7.7 touches in the past 3 games, over or under 7.7?
Oh, it's going to be barely over.
Thank you, big boy. I have no further questions.
All right. Try to keep Mark in check tonight.
Bye, Mark.
What did he say?
He said keep you in check tonight.
Oh, I'm not going to be over there, so I'll be in check. I'll be humming under my breath while I work.
Goodbye, big boy.